You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
We'll go to the scripture reading today. It's in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now it's made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, Seppi and I went out to Thunderbird last night, as we often do, and it was beautiful. Wow, what a day. That was just, it was beautiful. And there were some boats out on the lake. There was no one else walking. It was just Seppi and I along the dam. And we looked out. Sun was going right down. Beautiful gold and red colors. Calm. It was a beautiful place to behold. We've seen some unusual things there from time to time as far as wildlife goes. Now, I'm pretty sure I saw a panther. Pretty sure. It was at a distance, but by the way it moved, its color, size, and how the deer were reacting, which was like they almost took the deer, I think it was a panther. And then another night we saw a lot of deer, just many of them, like crazy. Last night we saw just two, and they were very afraid. So maybe hunting season, something's going on, but they were very standoffish. And there's a big buck, and he was looking at us like this, and the doe was over there, and the path went between them. And so he was looking at the doe, he's looking at us, you know, checking it all out. We've seen also some unusual things in the water. It's really nice to see fish life. I love to see fish. And we've seen schools of, I don't know what sort of fish they are, but they were there, schools of them, coming near the surface and flapping around. And then there was one time, and Seppi didn't see it. Oh, I'm so disappointed she didn't see it. But something happened on the lake where something big came out of the water. I mean, this was big. It was some kind of fish. But it was big. Well, I say big, big. I don't know what it was. It definitely happened. I saw it. I didn't see something. It wasn't happening in the brain. I didn't manufacture it. It did happen. But when I pointed out to Seppi, all Seppi could see was the wake. Didn't see the fish, but she saw the wake. The wake was big. What on earth was that? I don't know. But there's all sorts of things in that lake, no doubt. Probably if we took a dive down there and had a look down the bottom, we might get a little bit afraid of what's on the bottom there. Yeah, maybe you couldn't see anything. I used to do quite a bit of diving in the sea. And it is surprising sometimes what you see there. One of the fish that I used to see would be stingray. I remember one time I was collecting scallops about 30 feet down, and I was on the sea bottom collecting scallops. And it was a sunny day, so the sunlight comes through, and so it's all light around you as you're picking things up. And then I noticed it went dark. Uh-oh. So I looked up. And it wasn't a shark. It was a great big stingray going across the top of me. And they're pretty well harmless, but although if you corner one or you're agitated, it can attack you. It's got a barb at the back of it. It can do you damage. And then there's moray eels. Now, moray eels, they won't harm you, but if you put your hand in the wrong place, they've got a jaw on those things, man, that if they clamp down on you, they won't let go. And then they wind around you like this. Oh, man. So there are some nasties down there as well. But they're pretty. They come in all kinds of colors, gold and all sorts of colors. Well, let's have a word of prayer. God and Father, we thank thee for today, for all that thou hast given us in terms of the weather, the beauty of the change of seasons. We thank thee for all these things. We ask you to bless us and guide us and teach us as we open the scriptures. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, well, last time we looked at the subject of the gospel and the I pointed out the fact that you can find my gospel, the expression my gospel. Isn't that interesting? My gospel. That's Paul speaking. It's only Paul that says my gospel. He owns this thing, my gospel. Why is that? That's a very distinctive thing. And one of the things that I had a long time come to realize is that Paul is a very special person in relationship to the Gentiles. Now, in terms of understanding what the hope for the Gentiles are, you have to rightly divide Paul's ministry. You have to rightly divide Paul's epistles to understand what God is doing through the ages. But certainly Paul, regardless of whether you go into the Acts epistles or whether you go outside the Acts epistles, you'll find that Paul has a very special place in relationship to the Gentiles. That is true. And the message that we preach today does involve a ministry of reconciliation, which relates to the fact that all in Adam will die and all in Christ shall be made alive. And how are we going to come alive again? Well, it's through my gospel, the Paul's special revelation given to him, and which is also, as we'll find, was written in the Old Testament scriptures. So you're going to find this word "and" comes in there, which is very interesting. As we get through this, I'll show you how that comes in. And then, of course, the other place is in 2 Timothy 2:8, which takes us to our age. We'll look at that in the third part. Today, part two, we're looking at Romans 16. That's where we're going to go. And last time, we basically looked at this idea that in Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge. So this goes back to the idea that one day there is going to be this judgment. And the judgment is based upon and according to Paul's gospel, my gospel. That in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men through the instrument of Jesus Christ, according to his gospel, Paul's gospel. And I did a little bit of review through this, and as we did the review, we came across some interesting things, like, for example, the intent that Paul would visit Rome. He wanted to do this. And further, in Romans 15, we discover that, in fact, Paul intended to go through Rome and then be helped by the Romans in going on to Spain. In Philippians 4:3, Clement is mentioned. One of Paul's fellow workers is Clement. If you go back into recorded history, there is this Clement of Rome. And the time that he lived is about the same time. It would fit with the timing of Paul. It could be the same Clement. How do we know? We don't know. I don't see any way in which I can determine that the Clement that's mentioned here in Philippians 4:3 is the same Clement that we have the letter from. But regardless, we find that Clement did indeed infer that there would be a message by Paul going to Spain, similarly in the Muratorian canon. So we talked about this. And the key passage here, it comes from Romans 2, verse 12, where it says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." Okay, so you've got this perishing, you've got this judgment, and then you've got a parenthetical thought, and then it continues, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." So this judgment is according to Paul's gospel. And this judgment, you notice, relates to this issue of sin. "As many as have sinned without law shall also perish, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." Judgment by the law. He builds this logical case that if you could perform all the deeds of the law and the righteousness of the law continually, if you could continually in patience do this, then eternal life would be rewarded to you. But then he shows in chapter 3 that, in fact, the problem is that no one can do it. And he does this logically. He shows how that all nations have been given up and given over in their sin. And then the Jews came along with the law, and they themselves and their hypocrisy also committed the same things. And so The whole world then is shown to be guilty before God. And so what's going to be the solution if it is simply demonstrated through history that we are all so filled with this brokenness of the heart that we sin, then how on earth are we going to get saved? And this is the message that Paul brings up in Romans 3, that now the righteousness without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And Paul brings this out, and he reaches back into the Old Testament scriptures, and he brings this out, this wonderful truth of salvation by grace. He brings this up. Okay, so today what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 16. We're going to do part two of this, where my gospel appears again. So let's go there, and I want to just quickly sort of summarize where we're going with this. As we go through, we're going to learn more and more about my gospel. So if you're looking at Romans, okay, Romans, that's interesting, isn't it? A man is in there. You need to get out of one man and into another. And 6 letters in Romans. 6 letters. The number of man, right? And if you go to Romans 6 and verse 6, what do we find? Let's have a look at it, just for fun. Let's just go there. Romans 6, verse 6. And let's see. It says this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Isn't that interesting? Right there. Romans 6, verse 6. Let's count up the words here in verse 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's the sixth word? Man. Interesting, isn't it? So, Romans 6, verse 6. Sixth word, man. 666. Just a way of remembering it, right? It's a good way of remembering the issue here, which has to do, finally, with what Paul brings up. That is, that if you go all through the beginning of Romans, and then to a middle section, which starts at Romans 5 verse 12 and then goes right to the end of chapter 8 and then beginning at 9:1 and then going right across to 16:27, you find that nations and Israel are here. Nations and Israel here. And then in the middle here, and by the way, especially in here, you get a very strongly dispensational discussion about the place of Israel. Okay, so this is highly dispensational. Very much so. You can start right here in Romans 9. His heart's desire for Israel is that they should be saved. What advantage then hath the Jew? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Romans chapter 11. He then talks about the great place of Israel and the hope for the future. Yes, that they were in disobedience, but there is the tremendous hope for the future. So there's no doubt about it. The nations are in here with this unnatural graft he talks about. There's Abraham and all of these things going on here. Very dispensational. But when you come to this inner section of Romans, then the emphasis is not Israel. I'm not saying Israel's not in there. I'm just saying the emphasis is right back to the one man, Adam, in whom we are all related. You may think you come from rather good breeding. Rather good reading. Yeah. You're from Adam. You're from Adam. Yeah. My great, 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 etc. Granddaddy. Same as yours. right? Same as yours. We're all in the same problem. And the emphasis is not sins, plural, but sin. Yeah. The real heart of it, right? The thing that causes and produces and multiplies is sin that produces sins. So you find this in Romans. Okay, and we can discover more about this. But when we get to Romans 16, we come to this doxology. This doxology, which in various manuscripts is found at various other places than when we find it here. I believe this is exactly where it should be, as we find in our King James. But if you look at Romans 16, and you notice verse 24, it says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. Truly. And then it carries on. "Now, to him that has power to establish you." And it says, "According to my gospel." So we want to be established. We certainly want to be established. Everybody that's a Christian wants to be established. And it says, "According to my gospel," and then it goes, "and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." Now, it doesn't matter whether you read this in English or you read this in Greek. It's complex. That's the first thing. You notice all the dependent clauses, and it follows on, according to. It's quite a complex doxology. And some criticize this passage as being non-Pauline because it's so complex in how it's written. And for doxology, I mean. So what I want to do is I want to pull that thing apart. Now, this looks all complicated, I realize that, but I need to show you something here which is very cool. The first thing is, this thing's not quite working. But anyway, if you can see, there is a bracket, a left bracket, and I realize that people are not going to see this net, but this is for your sake. So here's a bracket here, and then there's a bracket here. You notice it says Amen, Amen here. And to him who has power, to him who has the power, is what it says. And then it says Terexai, to establish you. And then it goes according to, and then there's this neat structure here. My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to a revelation of a mystery. Of a mystery. Mysterio. And then this is where it comes down from. Mysterio. And it comes down here. And it says, which has been hidden. Which has been hidden in age time. But now it is made manifest and made known through prophetical scriptures for obedience of faith to all nations, to ethne. Oh, that's cool. All nations. And then it goes on a little bit further and it says, according to the commandment of the eternal God. Okay. Now, can you see how it cascades? It's got quite a complex structure here. So here, where it says, to him who has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to a revelation of mystery. So here's the two things I want to point out. The establishing is based and according to two things. The first one is my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And the second one is a revelation of a mystery. So to be established, you've got to get these two things sorted. One is that you've got to get my gospel. You've got to get Paul's my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And secondly, you've got to get this mystery, a revelation of a mystery. And then what this does is, it then explains everything about this mystery. What comes down here is an explanation of this mystery. And if you just read the English text as it is, it's hard to make these connections because of the complexity of it. And you say, well, this is all complex too. Well, admittedly, it does look a little bit complex. But if you follow the grammar of it, it makes a lot of sense. So the first thing is, all right, I point out a few things here, but let's now go to the English and see whether we can unravel this a little bit more. So in verse 25, it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the first thing. To be established, according to what's being said here, you must listen to and know my gospel, the message of Paul, which is called my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Then it says, and also to be established, you must get this revelation of a mystery. Now you notice it says the mystery. But if you look down here, you'll notice it doesn't actually have an article. There it is there. According to a revelation of a mystery. And then it goes on down and says, which has been hid. Now, this verb here, it's in the participle, but it's a verb sigao. Now, I want to investigate this. This is going to be very interesting. This is just the word kerux, which has to do with preaching. And this is the verb which I want to look at now, which is the verb to hide. Let's just understand what it means to be hidden. And it comes up in various passages. Let's just look at a couple of them. And I want to just follow them through. Not all of them, just a few of them, so you can see how the verb is used. This is in Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 9, verse 36. So Luke 9 and verse 36. Let's have a look at it. It says this. It says, and when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close. They kept it close. See, that's what it means. They kept it hidden and told no man. See, then it just explains. See, kept it hidden. Told no man. In those days, any of those things which they had seen. Interesting. They kept it close. Look at Luke 20:26. So I want to know. I'm trying to understand what it means that it was hid. You see? Luke 20 and 26. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. And held it. You see? They held it. Kept it close, they kept it hid. And if you just take one more passage just so you can see how there's various usages of it, have a look at Acts 12 and verse 17. It says this, but he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So the place is here. Hold their peace. Keep quiet. You see? Hold their peace. Keep quiet. Okay, other passages and we can go through them. But the basic idea is be silent, keep still, say nothing. So coming here, let's look at this. It says in Romans 16:25. According to the revelation of a mystery, which was hidden in age times. In age times. So, this is where it says, which was hidden in age times. And this thing is in the dative case. And the dative case usually means a point in time. But it can have a durative sense, meaning it keeps going. So, which was hidden during the age times. See, it could mean that. during the age times, or it could mean hidden at a particular time in the age times. And you say, what's the difference? There's not much difference in the effect. But if I was to diagram it, so you can see the difficulty that I'm trying to address, because when you're addressing language, you know, is not necessarily easy to understand completely. It's got a whole raft of possibilities and what it means. So if you've got here age times, okay, then one possibility is it means that this mystery was hid at some point in that time. It was hidden in there sometime. Or it just means this, that during this time it was hid. It was not known about. It was hushed up. It was kept quiet during that time. Either way you look at this, it has the effect that it was not disclosed in all its fullness. And it was in the age times. It was somewhere in here, but it was hidden down. And what it needs is, it needs an inspired apostle to bring it to the surface. Right? See, it's not like it's saying that it was kept away from everybody. Rather, it has the idea that it's in there somewhere, but you can't see it. It's a very interesting thing. Okay, so the Greek is very interesting here, and it goes on in verse 26. Now, this is where it really starts. The rubber hits the road, man. And in verse 26, but now, all beautiful words, but now is made manifest. So where are we now? We are here. But now, noon. It's interesting, isn't it? A lot of our words, they almost go directly with the Greek noon, now. Yeah, not so much. But now. And then it says, is made manifest. Is made manifest. And you notice that's all by itself. Is made manifest. And then tear, not a close connection, is made known. And is made known. Is made manifest and is made known through the prophetical scriptures. Propheticon. The prophetical. That's an adjective. That's an adjective. Therefore, it will modify a noun. It's the prophetical scriptures. Now, notice where it's connected. It's here, made known through prophetical scriptures. The manifest part is all by itself. Manifest means some sort of revelation had come to Paul. It was given to him as a divine prophet. It was given to him. He got it. A manifestation. But then, and it says, made known through prophetical scriptures. Oh, wow. So there's two things that are going on here with this mystery. So with the mystery, and I'll put in here a mystery to differentiate it from other important mysteries, namely the one that's given to Paul later on after Acts 28:28. The mystery given to Paul in Ephesians, you read about it. But this, a mystery, what do you notice about it? Well, it says here, which was hidden age times and made manifest. Okay, so now, made manifest. And then it says, and is made known. Made known through prophetical scriptures. How can you see how this scriptures? I better put that down. Can you see how this is very, very different to the mystery given to Paul the prisoner later on? Because there's no way in the wide world that this could be made known through prophetical scriptures, because it's not in there. But what's interesting about how Paul talks about this thing being hid in age times. It's been kept silent through the age times, or has been kept in the age times in such a way that it's not made known. Very different thing. Here, this mystery that Paul's talking about, yes, there is a manifestation. Yes, that has to come from revelation of God. He, as a prophet and as apostle, was given special revelation by Jesus Christ, and he learned something. But it's not devoid, it's not divorce from the scriptures. You can read about it. It can be made known through prophetical scriptures. Isn't that interesting? It says prophetical scriptures. What about Ephesians? Is that prophetical scriptures? Nope. He's talking here about those scriptures that were written by the prophets. Because that's what Romans is about. The whole of Romans about this very issue. So when he talks about prophetical scriptures, he's not saying that you can read about this in his coming epistle of Ephesians. No. In fact, there's nothing to say that he would even know that such a thing even exists here. Right? This is something that you can read about and learn about from the Old Testament scriptures. And as I say, as you go on down a little bit further, made known through prophetical scriptures, unto obedience of faith unto all nations. Okay, cool. Now, coming on further down, it says this, according to the commandment of the eternal God, according to the eternal God. Why do you think he would say, or everlasting God, or eternal God, or age-abiding God? We don't really know how to translate that. What do you think about that? Why is he mentioning the everlasting God here? Because, you see, God is working through the ages a certain plan. And that's why he mentions God in that way. Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So the My Gospel here is put into this context where there is the gospel that he is preaching to establish people. You must include a mystery. Isn't that interesting? If you want to establish anybody, it would seem, even during the book of Acts, you have to include something to do with mystery. Now, this mystery is hidden in the ages. But what we're going to learn about later on, of course, is that, again, there is the My Gospel. And, again, there is mystery. But there's a big distinction in the mystery we're going to read about later on. It has no connection with the prophetical scriptures. But what is true, there is the My Gospel. And to establish people, you have to preach Paul's My Gospel, and you have to bring forward mystery and reveal it. And you have to understand it. So, coming on a little bit further, hopefully this battery's got enough in it so we can work it. So this is just showing you where the word prophetical comes up. There's only two places where this word comes up, and it comes up in 2 Peter 1:9. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. That's prophetical scriptures. Again, it's interesting than here. So I'm borrowing from Welsh points this out that, okay, so what is this mystery which he's talking about here? How can we locate it? Where is it brought out? And how can we show that indeed it is in the scriptures? Well, here it is. Okay, we can even find it in Romans 5:12-8:39. That's the middle section. And he brings it out even better here, right? Here is the middle section. This is the section of the book of Romans where this mystery is elaborated. And that mystery it's written in the scriptures. Yes, it is. Find it right here. Talks about Adam. Talks about that we are all in Adam. And all in Adam we all die in Christ. We shall all be made alive. And it's not about Abraham. It's something that's universal that we can all see. Every single person can see it and see their need. And that's why this must be included in the presentation of the My Gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. It must be, because if you want to establish something, it must be according to this purpose, this mystery this secret that's in the age times brought out in Romans 5:12 to 8:39. Well, that's my message for you today. And we're going to finish off next week with the last of the my Gospels, which is in the prison time. Okay, let's pray. Oh God and Father, we thank Thee for this message concerning Paul's ministry. We thank Thee for the scriptures, which are just so rich, and there's so much to learn in there, Lord. We thank Thee, our Father, we can locate many things and understand them, and that they will help us to believe and become even stronger in the faith, and that we can witness and clarify things which for many Christians are unclear. We pray, Lord, You'd bless the ministries online as we reach out to the world with the revelation of this mystery and also the one which was given to Paul the prisoner. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.